You're listening to The Mojo with Steph Renee. Weekdays, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. exclusively on 900 a.m. WURD.
This is Stephanie Renee welcoming you back to today's Mojo and joining us now to give us some deeper insight into precisely what it means to look into the vital role that our waterways play and other issues like climate change have on our lives here is Maya Van Rossum. She is the director of, or she is officially the Delaware River Keeper, which I love that title, and also is a licensed attorney and the director of the Environmental Law Clinic at Temple's Beasley School of Law. She joins us now on the line. Good morning, Maya, and welcome to WURD.
Good morning, Stephanie. I'm so pleased to be here.
We're glad to have you. And you know, we're going to kind of be a little pedagogic, if you don't mind, here at the beginning, because I want to define some terms for people so that when we talk a little more substantively about the work that you do, people have a base of knowledge that's pretty common. So first of all, let's talk about your official title, which is Delaware River Keeper. How did that come to be?
Well, the Delaware River Keeper is a title that was actually created by the community, by a community of people who really cared about the Delaware River and wanted to make sure that the river had a voice in the human world. And so back in the 1980s, we created the Delaware River Keeper Network and the position of the Delaware River Keeper. And the idea is to bestow that upon a person who is charged with being the voice of the river, but really is just representing the concept that we all need to take personal responsibility for protection of our rivers, for protection of our environment, because the health of our environment, of course, directly dictates the health of our own bodies, our own lives.
Yes, absolutely. And so, you know, you are an attorney licensed to practice in three states in environmental law, which is an area of law that we probably didn't hear a whole heck of a lot about until the towards the end of the 20th century. But of course, it is a growing and very necessary field. Talk a little bit about what it means to practice environmental law and the kinds of challenges that you deal with.
Yeah, so there are several laws at the state level and at the national level, which are supposed to be protecting our environment from pollution. I mean, very basically, right? Supposed to protect our rivers and our wetlands from being filled in or contaminated, from polluting our air, so on and so forth. But the fact of the matter is, the way the law really is implemented in the United States of America, these laws really are structured in such a way that they don't prohibit pollution. So it is not illegal to pollute under these laws, whether at the state level or the federal level, as long as you have permission to pollute. And so that's really just a fundamental problem with the way the laws are written. But to the extent that they do give permission to pollute, permission to develop in ways that may or may not be good for the environment and for protecting people who live downstream, the environmental laws, the role of an environmental attorney and an environmental advocate. You don't have to be an attorney to fight to enforce, you know, the protection of our environment and compliance with our environmental protection laws. Our job is to make sure that the strict letter of the law is followed to the greatest degree possible. And there are a lot of ways to implement these laws. They can be implemented in a way that is very protective of the environment and of communities. And frankly, they can be interpreted and implemented in a way that makes it very easy to pollute, makes it very easy to develop in inappropriate places and inappropriate ways that does a very high level of damage. And so our job is to try to interpret the laws in the strictest way possible and to get the greatest level of protection that we can out of them.
Yes.
You know, that's not a very legalese way of talking about it. It's really as an advocate. is how I think about it.
Absolutely. And there's one more word that I was struggling to come up with in a meeting yesterday, but that is also vital to the kind of work you do, which is watershed. And so, you know, there's a lot of, I know there's a lot of environmental education here in the greater Philadelphia area, because we have these two major rivers that, you know, run through our area. But can you also define what a watershed is so that our audience has a better idea?
Yeah, so a watershed is all the land where when a drop of water falls from the sky, lands on that soil, that water could eventually drain to a particular river or a particular body of water.
Ah.
Right? So it's all the land that drains to a particular water body. And when it comes to the Delaware River watershed, our watershed begins all the way up in the state of New York. And it includes portions of New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Delaware. And in terms of the Schuylkill River, right, it largely runs through Pennsylvania. Because the Schuylkill drains to the Delaware,
mm-hmm.
the Schuylkill River and its watershed is part of the Delaware River watershed.
Aha.
So it's a large area, but it's really an important concept, because what it means is that anything that happens on the land in a river's watershed has the potential to impact the river or the stream to which it drains. So that's why it's so fundamentally important. Even if there's a development project or a project that will result in some sort of pollution discharge that's far away from the Delaware or far away from the Schuylkill, it still can have very direct implications for what is flowing through, what is flowing in the waters of the Schuylkill River and the Delaware River. And of course, the Schuylkill River and the Delaware River are the primary drinking water supplies
yes.
for the city of Philadelphia. So if it's in the river, right, it has the potential to come into our communities and into our bodies, and we don't want that.
Indeed. And that's why, you know, like I say, sometimes we city dwellers tend to think of environmental concerns very distantly. And that's why we're glad to have you on the air today to help break this down for us in a way that's meaningful for people in the listening audience. Because a lot of times now when we are focusing on environmental concerns, one of the big things, of course, is fracking and the effect that has on groundwater and potential pollution. And we hear all this idea about setting water on fire in certain areas of the state and what have you. But there are also some real strong concerns that we have, as you mentioned, about development and the effect that has on potential pollution in our area, waterways and what have you. And we've got an election coming up exactly 2 weeks from today. So can you kind of give us an overview about what you see as the most pressing environmental concerns that involve the Delaware River waterways and watersheds that we should be thinking about as we go to the polls?
Yeah, so, you know, the reality is I get asked a lot to kind of compare different environmental threats and different threats to the river. To me, they're all important because different communities and different people get impacted in different ways by a particular pollution event that may or may, you know, that may be happening, or by a different development project that may be getting constructed, because some of it depends upon whether or not you live downstream from that pollution source, or whether it's a development project that's going to be next door to you, or whether it's going to be an industrial operation that's going to spew pollution into the air that's going to eventually settle down onto the community where you live. So if you are, the more directly impacted you are by a particular pollution source, pollution incident, or piece of harmful development, the more concern it's going to be for you. And I am not at all interested ever in sort of rating and saying that one person or one community suffering at the hands of environmental degradation is more important than another community's, right? So to me, they're all important.
Gotcha.
But when I look at the election, I really look at how are these potential electeds thinking about the environment. And we have, you know, a number of folks that like to talk about we have too much regulation. It's too difficult. We're over-regulating. to me, I mean, we've heard a lot in this election about dog whistles, right? When I hear somebody who's running for office talk about there being too much regulation and that they want to get rid of regulation, to me, that's a dog whistle that says, I want to allow industry to pollute more easily,
yeah,
so that they can make bigger profits on the backs of people. So when I look at this election, that's an important issue. How are folks who are running for office talking about the environment or not talking about the environment, and what do they think about regulation? Because frankly, regulation is vitally important in terms of environmental protection. If we leave it up to industry to do the right thing voluntarily when it comes to environmental protection, I can guarantee you 9 times out of 10, they will do the wrong thing.
Uh-huh.
And so regulation is vitally important. Energy is a huge issue for our region. While in the Delaware River watershed, actually because of work the Delaware Riverkeeper Network started over 20 years ago, while right now there is a moratorium that prevents drilling and fracking from happening within the boundaries of the Delaware River watershed, that protection could go away as a result of a vote of 5 people if we are not vigilant about protecting it.
Mm-hmm.
If fracking were to come into the boundaries of the Delaware River watershed, it would mean massive toxic contamination and huge volumes of water taken out of our river, out of our watershed, a lot of deforestation, a lot of industrial activity upstream, upriver, that could eventually make its way down the Delaware, down the Schuylkill, and be a very real and direct threat to the folks who live in the city of Philadelphia, not to mention ruining the forest and the recreational opportunities that we all have if we, you know, go outside to our natural areas upriver in the Schuylkill, in the Delaware, to, you know, enjoy a special place, go to a national park, right? It's something free we can all do to enjoy nature and enjoy time with our families. And if fracking comes through our watershed, that's at risk. But even without fracking in the boundaries of the Delaware River watershed, we have a lot of threats coming because of the proliferation of fracking in central and western Pennsylvania. We have pipeline projects cutting through communities. We have efforts, particularly on the Philadelphia waterfront, to expand the industrial operations that are dependent upon fracked gas that will spew more pollution into the air, into the water, bringing more devastation and more damage. And all of it contributing more to climate change, which is a huge threat to the future of our children. And the sad part of all of it, when it comes to energy and staying dependent upon dirty fossil fuels like fracked gas, the truth is it's not necessary. It's not clean and renewable energy options are here today. And in fact, my organization just put out a report just last week to show elected officials exactly how Pennsylvania could be entirely energized by clean energy options by the year 2050.
Wow.
If we do the right thing. We created a plan for Pennsylvania, but plans have already been created by others for other states. And the fact of the matter is, the entire United States of America could be totally supported by clean energy options by 2050 if our elected officials would just put in place the programs and the encouragements necessary to make that happen, rather than keeping in place and advancing programs and encouragements for the dirty fossil fuel industry.
Right. And, you know, this goes a long way toward what we always say when it comes to politics and how it influences quality of life in the area, which is that we need visionaries, people who are planning for beyond perhaps their even time on earth, but certainly people who understand what's better for the larger society and not just focused on immediate profits, immediate gain, or just retaining a job. And that's why your organization decided that the river needed a voice and put you in place to be the official Delaware Riverkeeper. Can you give us any particular contact information, especially for the environmental advocates in our listening audience, about how to stay in touch with you and how they can get more engaged in doing the work that you do to help protect our waterways?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have a website, DelawareRiverkeeper.org. That will also get you to our Facebook page and all of our good other social media options. If you go to DelawareRiverkeeper.org, you can sign up for no fee to become a member of the Delaware Riverkeeper Network and help be part of the community that gives our river the voice it needs in the human world. And we will send you alerts and information about how you can get involved in issues of all kinds that might be of interest to you and your community. So I encourage everybody to do that. And if I can, I just want to issue one reminder, particularly for the people of Pennsylvania. I should have mentioned this in the discussion of law. Pennsylvania is very unique in that in our state constitution, we have a constitutional right to pure water, clean air, and a healthy environment. And that right to a healthy environment is written in the same part of Pennsylvania state constitution that protects our right to freedom of speech, to freedom of religion, and all those other rights that we hold so dear and rise up so passionately to defend when they are compromised. This constitutional provision was ignored for over 40 years, but actually the Delaware Riverkeeper Network and seven towns used this provision to challenge a very pro-fracking piece of legislation that was passed by Pennsylvania's legislature a few years back. Mm-hmm. And as a result of that legal challenge, legal life, was breathed into this constitutional provision that had been inappropriately ignored for all those years. So I just want to put it into people's brains in Pennsylvania, and for people who live beyond Pennsylvania to know that you don't need a constitutional provision to recognize that you have a right to pure water, clean air, and healthy environment. And whenever anybody wants to take that away from you for any reason, you have a right and an obligation to rise up and defend it. And you can give me a call at the Delaware Riverkeeper Network if you need help to rise up and defend an environmental right of yours that is being violated. That's why the Delaware Riverkeeper Network exists, and we will happily help you defend your right to a healthy life and your right to a healthy environment.
That's wonderful. Can you give us that phone number?
1-800-8-DELAWARE.
Okay.
And that will get you to my office.
Got it. Well, we'll definitely make sure that we repeat that and that we continue to make citizens in Philadelphia understand how important it is to really network with those people like you who are on the front lines of, as you said, breathing legal life into some of these rights that we demand that we should be afforded, but sometimes don't feel that we are big enough or powerful enough to really see come to fruition. Maya Van Rossum, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much. And it's been an honor to be on your show today.
Thank you. And again, ladies and gentlemen, that is Maya Van Rossum. She is the Delaware Riverkeeper, part of the Delaware Riverkeeper Network, legally appointed and legally trained to be able to be the voice of the Delaware River and its surrounding tributaries, including the Schuylkill River, and helping to protect our environmental concerns, especially as it comes to the quality of our drinking water and how that affects us here in the city. To reach her office, call her at 1-800-8-DELAWARE. Again, that's 1-800-8-DELAWARE. And get more information about how you can join the network for free and be an advocate for environmental concerns here in our city and the surrounding areas.
You've been listening to The Mojo with Steph Renee. Weekdays, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. exclusively on 900 a.m. WURD.